We're going to be looking at Romans 12, verses 3 to 8. Before we get going into the text, I just wanted to ask you folks, maybe on the opposite side of things, did you ever receive a gift, you know, for a birthday or Christmas or other occasion, and you were so overjoyed by what you'd been given that, you know, you couldn't wait to pass it off to somebody else at the very next holiday? Did it ever happen to you? It's okay, you can admit, we've all been there, you know. Green alpaca sweater matches with the alpaca necklace that turns your neck green, you know, that kind of gift. Talking Jerry Lewis look-alike doll that only speaks in Chinese. We've all gotten this kind of thing before. You know, it's one of those situations that just kind of makes you say, Lord, bless the giver, but please give them just slightly better taste. We've all been blessed with this kind of gift. But now this morning, we're going to talk about gifts that we want to give away, but there's not going to be any green alpaca sweaters involved, I promise. In fact, these gifts are so wonderful that they go far beyond our physical and human understanding. They go into the infinite. They come from the divine. This morning, our text will be discussing spiritual gifts. So let's start in Romans 12. We're going to look at verses 3 to 8. Verse 3, For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. This is powerful text. But before we really get into heavy discussion about spiritual gifts, let's talk about spiritual identity. Now, the reason why we need to talk about spiritual identity before we talk about spiritual gifts and why we receive them and why we should then want to give them away is I feel there's an awful lot of misunderstanding and misinterpreting going on in the church when it comes to these gifts and their significance and ultimately their place. Because, I mean, not every single action of which a person has mental or physical capability is necessarily a spiritual gift, is it? Sometimes you'll hear folks say things like, well, I've memorized the entire NBA and can recite the names of all the players in backwards chronological order. Obviously, God has gifted me. Or, my cousin Charlie has never lost in a game of Monopoly. Isn't that anointed? But not really, right? I mean, don't get me wrong, our skill set obviously comes from the Almighty, and our mental capabilities to do these things do have divine origins. But, you know, and still we're not bringing the abilities on ourselves. But these are talents, right? Gifts start and end with the Holy Spirit. There's a world of difference. So, Romans 12, at the very kickoff, Paul says it very clearly, very clear-cut warning, verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Well, Paul says a mouthful here, but we can break this down a little bit. What does he say? What is Paul ultimately saying here in verse 3? Don't be smug. Don't be arrogant. You know, we have the example of God who gave himself all. He made himself nothing, as the Bible says. So if we're thinking of ourselves as anything higher, then we're assuming an attitude that puts us higher than the Almighty. To have pride or think we are anything by ourselves on our own, that's satanic in nature, isn't it? It's the exact opposite of Christianity. One expository offers this on the text. The Greek, which has been translated, think of yourself more highly, implies to have the thoughts and feelings habitually turned in this manner. So we must habitually, constantly, intentionally put ourselves in our place, so to speak. The flesh seeks to do what it wants. It's selfish. In the spirit we are giving, in the spirit we think of self-sacrifice, In the spirit, we mimic Christ. But it takes some time for us to get there. Paul says, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. We're all on the same playing field, but our walk with Christ is unique as individuals, isn't it? Now, moving on in the text, we're still going to talk about spiritual identity. God gives us talents, and no, they aren't meant to be used for selfish purposes either, but gifts are still different. For just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And we run across this thought in other places in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Echoing spiritual gifts, what they mean when we start with our identity in Christ, or love God and love others. Our spiritual identity in Christ has made us as followers of Christ. So this means everything he gives to us. It's not meant for us to keep. It's meant to be returned to him, meant to be used to further his kingdom. You know, it's interesting how Paul establishes our place in the body as members. It's interesting how he gives us the purpose of that body here in Romans 12 before he gets into the specifics of gifts. He wants to make sure that we're coming at it from the right angle. We're unique as individuals, but we're unique as individuals for the body as a collective. The body being meant to further the kingdom. You know that old cliche, the gift that keeps on giving. Your spiritual gifts are given to you for others. They are the gifts that keep on giving. So Paul wants us to know the purpose of the gifts before he tells us more about them. And he's done that. We continue on with the text. We get a few ideas about what those spiritual gifts are. Verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. So if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. And we'll read through them again. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So what's been given to us has been given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. It wasn't our idea, it wasn't my idea, and it's not me that has the claim to it. But here's some examples of what you may be finding you have the capability to do to further the kingdom of God. So let's do it together. Scripture goes on. You know, in Ephesians 4, verses 10 to 12, we have an incredibly practical gift list with actual job titles, for lack of a better name. We have apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers. Some of these other things are discussed. We can look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 11. Paul talks gifts some more. He talks about spiritual wisdom, discerning of spirits. He talks about some other things. In verse 11, he ends by saying, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Now, if we continue on here in 1 Corinthians 12, we get some rather fantastic commentary on the relationship between the individual and the body. We also find out that the eye is not a foot, and so it should stop trying to find its way in the dark without glasses on immediately. Do you ever do that? No, Paul doesn't say that last part. But the point is clear. God has you where he wills. He blesses you with gifts as he wills. The gifts are meant to be passed on to others, to be returned to him. So if we're keeping them to ourselves, we're keeping them from God. Our gifts have a very specific and practical purpose. Ephesians 4:12 says, so that the body of Christ may be built up. So it should be no surprise to us that this is the gist of our spiritual identity in Christ, as we love God, as we love others. So our gift keeps on giving. Now, I don't believe that Scripture is entirely exhaustive when it comes to identifying these gifts. I'm not saying we should pursue what is extra-biblical, but I think sometimes it's a shame and maybe sometimes even a heresy that we limit our understanding of spiritual gifts to first century application only. And what I mean by this is the following. I'm going to embarrass Becky a little bit. That's okay. I have her permission, I guess. She used to talk in her sleep, and it was complete gibberish. Not only was it gibberish, but it was terrifying gibberish. Really. One night I called four ministers over to help me pray over her. Not really, but a spiritual gift is not gibberish. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And the point is also not to tie down our gifts to what someone else may be doing, even in Scripture, but to rely on God himself to work through us so that we may accomplish whatever it is to what we've been called. I think there's a certain temptation within the church of which we need to be made aware, because we don't predetermine these things. We don't say, well, I have the gift of prophesying, so here's the Lord speaking through me. That's when the giant candy cane comes out and rips Josh off the stage. God calls us to obediently serve him. Yes, we can take inventories. We can possibly identify where our gifts lie. We may get an idea from serving with others, and this can be an excellent way, can't it, to determine how God intends to work through us. But I find it interesting. In a spirit of humility, Christ-likeness, we will be the most effective in determining what isn't ours, but what is the Almighty working through us. We just don't want to miss out on serving him because we get too caught up in trying to determine how. He'll make it known. We just have to trust him. But you may be saying as we're rolling along today, well, preacher, I'm not sure what this looks like from a practical sense. I mean, first you say it's part of my identity as a Christian to love God and love others, and that this involves gifting, but then you tell me not to worry about the gifting and just trust God. Which is it? Well, I think if we look at the whole message of Scripture, the answer is both. Because you see, no matter the way God intends to work through you, he intends to work through you. And our constant reminder to this is Matthew 28, our Great Commission. We're called to witness, disciple to the world. So this means we're not all called to the title of evangelist, but we're all called to evangelize. We may not all be called to some sort of pastoral role, but we're all called to build up and edify others. Our spiritual gifts are given to us as the Lord decides. 1 Corinthians 12:31 tells us to eagerly desire the greater gifts. So if it's clear, if we desire to carry out God's will, God will make it known to us how. He'll make it known. You know, on a personal note, I grew to love the ins and outs of ministry. I had a love for preaching. I pursued preaching. I grew to love preaching. I pursued it because I had a love for Sunday school teaching. Now, teaching didn't come easy or naturally to me at first at all. Somehow I'd get up in front of that adult class with something I'd prepared. I'd prayed over it, and God would bless the time we spent together. But the opposite would happen, too. Sometimes I'd go into the classroom, I'd have the wrong attitude. Boy, this one will get them today. This one will knock them out. But the problem with claiming you're doing something for Jesus when it's really to make yourself look good is that Jesus knows this, and he won't show up. He just won't come. There's a story about a preacher who was making his way home after Sunday morning church with his wife. Now, he lived a little further from his home than I do from mine. But boy, I tell you, he thought he was Billy Graham. You know, he thought he was really something. And he had this haze, this glow of elevated pride at his oratory. He was reflecting on in his mind how he had just dazzled his congregation. And he turned to his wife and he said, "I wonder how many truly great preachers there are in the world today." His wife said back, "Well, I don't know, but there's one less than you think." Kingdom sensibility is of the spirit, not of the flesh. Motives have to be kept in check. So sometimes I think, well, if the song or the sermon was any good, it was all God. But if it was terrible, I get all the credit. We don't want to convey this false sense of humility either. I'm joking. But I ask you today, what is God doing through you? What's he doing through you already? What is he cultivating through you? What is he cultivating through us that can be used for the common good? We talked a little bit last week about, you know, when we're believers, Jesus comes in. He acts like the world's greatest gardener, doesn't he? He cultivates us. He gives us the nutrients we need to bear fruit. I still don't know much more about farming. I got to see Sackett's farm this last week. That was incredible. So I've had two small farming experiences, so I'm getting there. I'm getting there. But I still love this scripture, even though I don't have a lot of working knowledge about it. But keeping that in mind about what Jesus does when he comes in, he's the world's greatest gardener. Let's return to the text. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. So if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So what can you do? What are you doing already? Or what aren't you doing that you could be doing? Preach? Can you serve? Is there a unique way you can communicate to others that maybe you haven't been doing? And I'm probably not talking about sleep talking, but do you have a love for others that can be used in ministry? Do you have a gift that's meant to keep on giving? You know, we look at the Holy Spirit, and I'll just be honest with you here. I am terrible at pronouncing Greek, so if any of you guys out there can say this better than I can, please volunteer it. But in the Greek, we have this word. I'm going to try this pneuma for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, in the Greek pneuma, gives gifts or charismata as he wills. Now, this latter Greek implies that they are freely given by grace, not because we deserve them, not because we did anything to earn them. So, keeping in mind, we know the proper response to gift of any kind is thank you, but how do you say thank you to the Almighty Giver in regards to gifts of grace? Wow. Well, you pass on the gift. You pass it on. You pass on the gift to others. So if there's something out there you feel God is calling you to return back to him, I know we'd love to hear more about it. I know there's a place where you can be used by him. God gives us gifts to us in a really cool manner. It allows us to be confident in him without being proud, for the gifts are already his and they're meant to be given back. And what's really cool about it is that we're not all the same. We're all individuals. Rick Warren writes, God loves variety. He wants us to be special. There's no one single gift given to everyone, and no individual receives all the gifts. If you had them all, you'd have no need of anyone else. And that would defeat one of God's purposes, to teach us to depend on each other. We need each other, don't we? Individuals making up one body. So let's not be too concerned if we're sitting here, we're wondering when we're going to get to know what God is planning to do through us. He'll make it known. I was sitting in a restaurant the other day and the server took orders from two other tables. Does this scenario ever sound familiar to you? The people at these tables had come into the restaurant after my wife and I had, and yet they were being waited on and served before we were. Don't you hate that? You hate that? Man, that's a hard one, isn't it? Now, I'm probably sure it's probably just something we have here. I'm sure not the whole world gets that kind of a problem, but it's still a hard one. And, you know, but sometimes we feel this way when it comes to gifts, don't we? We worry about it. When am I going to get mine, Lord? When are you going to reveal to me what belongs to me? Why is it I showed up a long time ago, but I'm seeing people that just showed up getting all the gifts? But I feel too often we forget about our spiritual identity. We focus too much on our spiritual condition. Even worse, we focus on what we perceive as the spiritual condition of someone else. But when we look at 1 Corinthians 12, we look at Romans 12, we see the kind of thinking God means for the body. Who are we in Christ? Where has he placed us? And what can we do right now, today? Not tomorrow when we feel better, not next year after the diploma comes in, but today. Who are we in Jesus? What is the significance of who we are in him? If we're already immersed into him, we already have his Holy Spirit. In a sense, we already have that gift that keeps on giving. So we just need to let him work through us. He'll give, but he'll give for us to pass it on. Please pray with me. Father, this morning we know that you are the Almighty Giver. We know that you give. We know that you take away. We know that what you give, you have intention, Lord, to use. And Lord, we have to make the choice. We have to allow you to work through us for the greater good, to build up the body, to go into the world and take what you've given us to make your name great among the nations, Lord. And I just pray this morning that you open up our hearts, you open up our minds, you give us that clarity in your time, and that you allow us to rest in you, to trust you. Sometimes it's hard for us to give up that control, and sometimes you're waiting. We know you are waiting for us to give up that control. And I just pray, Lord, that happens through us, so that together we grow stronger in you. Lord, I thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. It is in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. You know, if you'd love to talk to us, if you'd like to talk to us this morning about using your spiritual gifts, we'd love to see how we can get you plugged in here, maybe re-plugged in here, because there's no power like the power of God working through the yielded hearts of the people of God. But if you don't already have the Holy Spirit this morning, please come forward. The giver is waiting to give himself to you. And you can be assured that he'll work through you according to your faith. He's got a plan. So if today is that day that you'd like to join the body of believers, be immersed into Christ, if you have another public decision you'd like to make, please come forward. We're going to sing our invitation hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. Now might be the time for you.